Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And are you the kind of person who nods hello to a stranger on the street, or talks weather with a person in the elevator, or learns bits and pieces about the life of the person who sells you coffee every day? Or do you do your best to avoid talking to strangers? My next guest says your life will be richer and fuller if you are the former, the person who chats or even just says hi to strangers. Keo Stark is the author of a new book out today called When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform You. And she's also an alum of the WNYC Data News Team, Local Kid Makes Good, and has a book. Hi, Kia. Welcome back.
Hi, Brian. Nice to be here.
And listeners, if you are like my guest, Keo Stark, and you chat to strangers, call in and tell us about a particularly great interaction that you've had with a stranger and why it made you feel so good and why you do this on a regular basis if you do. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And to look at your book, Keo, and I didn't know about this as you were working here, maybe because we weren't strangers, but you walk around your neighborhood and say hi to almost everyone?
I try to, yeah. If I'm in a hurry, like most people, I don't really say hi to everybody. But when I'm at leisure, yeah, I try to make eye contact with people. And if they look back at me, I say, hello, how you doing? Sometimes people slow down. Sometimes they just keep going. But I find it to be a very significant pleasure.
Is that, do you get particular reactions in New York to that? Do people say, what are you, from Minnesota?
No. You know, most people, I mean, some people ignore me, but most people are friendly. When I lived in New Haven, I said hello to somebody quite early in the morning one day that I ran across, and he stopped and looked at me and said, you must not be from around here.
Exactly. You write rather poetically that a simple hello or a smile that a stranger reciprocates is essential to your existence, and that without it, even though you have a loving family and friends, you feel a pinch of loneliness and disconnection. What is it about small stranger connections that make you feel that way?
For me, they are an independent pleasure of the kind of pleasures of intimacy that I have with the people I'm close to. So there is something very special about this kind of street intimacy, this sort of connecting with people in public that has its own meaning. And so for me, because I'm aware of it, because I do it a lot, sometimes I need to leave the people that I'm very close to, that I have potentially fraught relationships with, even though they're very loving, and go outside and just be a person who's friendly.
And so, for example, you've got a story in the book about running into an old neighbor whose name you don't know at a pizza place with your daughter. Want to tell that one?
Sure. So I lived on the same block for about 7 years, and there was a man who was an ex-fireman, and I chatted with him all the time. I'm pretty sure I knew which house was his, but, you know, he was kind of a street mayor, and I knew all about his different cars and his family. And then I moved away, and a couple years later, relatively recently, I was in a pizza place. My daughter starts kind of grooving to the music with somebody who's behind me. I turn around, and it's this guy. And he says, hey, stranger, you remember me? And it actually took me a second because it was such a different context. And then I did remember him, and it made me so happy to connect with him and to introduce him to my daughter, who didn't exist when I had lived on the block with him. And then there was this thing of, I don't know his name, but he feels like my friend.
And when your daughter asks why you're saying hi to someone you don't know, you tell her it's just nice to be friendly. But a lot of people instill rules in their kids not to talk to strangers.
Yeah. And, parenting is a tricky business, and I never want to tell anyone what to do or judge them for the way that they think about things. For me, it's really important to encourage my daughter to be friendly out in the public world, and also to learn to rely more on her perceptions than on categories. So just because she doesn't know someone, just because they're a stranger, doesn't mean that they're somebody she should avoid.
And yet there's a basic safety issue behind the conventional advice to kids not to talk to strangers. Obviously, it's the potential for Stranger Danger.
Sure. And the facts are that most things that would result from what we think of as stranger danger are things committed by people who children know. So, but facts are not emotional. So for me, what's important is to teach my kid not to go anywhere with anyone who's not the adult she's with, not to get anyone into anyone's car, not to take candy from strangers, but saying hello is a really different thing.
And you've got a story about encountering someone as you were walking along with your daughter who in your head was acting a little crazy, angry, upset, waving his hands around and stomping his feet. So how did she react and how did you handle it?
Well, she wasn't really paying attention until I saw this happening and I said, you know what, let's go a different way than we usually go to school. And, you know, kids are pretty set in their ways. And she said, why? Why do we have to go a different way? And I said, well, you see that guy, he's acting in a way that, you know, he's stomping. And I pointed out all the things you just said. He's stomping, he's angry, he's talking to nobody. And I don't know what's wrong with him, but I don't want to be around him. So, you know, she said, okay, that makes sense. And, you know, we went a different way. And I feel like the more density of experiences mm-hmm. like that she has with me and the more conversations we have, the smarter she's going to be about it.
Linda in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I live in Princeton, and we have a place here called the Institute for Advanced Study. In 1982, on a fall morning like this, I'm walking up a side street to the main street, and I see an older man, he was 55 at the time, standing there distressed, grinding his teeth, and he would look to anyone else in your audience like a homeless, crazy person. For some reason, I was drawn to him and said to him, "Don't worry, sir, it'll be over sooner than you think." He looked at me, took me for a cup of coffee, and we sustained a 23-year intense friendship, which saved my life. He turned out to be a world-renowned mathematician who was in Princeton having something mm-hmm. to do with Kurt Gödel's papers.
This is a great story, Linda, and I think it takes some of the stories we were telling so far to another level of not just the friendly hello to the coffee vendor or the former neighbor who you encounter again, but somebody who seems to be in distress. So let's take another call with another story. Alex in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alex.
Hello, Brian. Along the same line, this is why I'm actually in America and have the privilege to talk to you. So back in France, when I was in my brutal 19 and 20s, I was flunking pre-law at a French university in the south of France, Aix-en-Provence. And there was a cafeteria line, and I had noticed a couple guys a few days before with top hats, you know, Abraham Lincoln top hats, cutting a line. And on that particular day, I thought it would be cute if I would do the same, and I did. And I jumped the line, and I land in front of two ladies, one of them, probably French, gave me a brutally nasty eye. And the other one gave me a very big smile. And that was my first wife, who was from Pittsburgh and was studying French, spending a junior year abroad. And, of course, you know, on a broader topic, my whole life is often built around such encounters. And I've always been really opposed to the notion that one should not speak to strangers. It's a reflexively defensive posture, which really is artificial and self-destructive, I think.
How do you find the reaction to that in New York compared to wherever you lived in France?
I haven't lived my adult life in France, so it's hard to tell.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, I had lived, my life in France was in a small village, and I was a local misfit because I had never lived there for 10 years before. So it's hard to tell, but I do know that I can tell you the difference between New York City and small towns upstate. But maybe I shouldn't go there. I love New York, to put it that way.
We will take the implication and fill in the blanks. Keo, I was kind of surprised to read that introverts actually like talking to strangers. You say, why?
Yeah, and I would want to qualify that. I don't think all introverts like talking to strangers, but I've had a surprising number of people who identify as introverts, when I talk to them about it, they say, oh, yeah, you know, I don't like to talk to people at parties. I like to be alone a lot, but I really enjoy it when I walk around and, you know, there's people working on a construction project or somebody's renovating their house, and I can say, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? And so part of it is that they have something to ask about. And then part of it is they're never going to see these people again. So they have a lot of freedom. If they feel embarrassed, they're just walking away.
There's so much good recent research on introverts that shows they're not people who shy away from contact with other human beings. They just like to retreat to their own private space as where they find their comfort, while extroverts find their comfort in more social situations.
Yeah, and I think what I hear from introverts anecdotally really bears that out.
And you say talking to strangers can be a political act. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, that's actually one of my favorite things as I started to do research about all of this. When you talk to someone who's different from you as an individual, you really start to understand them differently than when you first saw them as a member of some category. So talking to someone who's different than you can basically open up your idea of who counts as human and what you think about those people who may not be anything like you or share any of your context.
You point out that even though there's been more racial and ethnic integration in the past half century or so, it's had little effect on intergroup prejudice as a whole, and particularly on the part of whites as a generalized group. You see a way, piece of the way out of that as just making conversation with strangers of different backgrounds.
I do, and it's a little bit complicated, but the idea that contact with strangers who are different than you can have a big effect is called the contact hypothesis. And there have been hundreds and hundreds of studies, both in the field and in laboratories, over the course of many years that prove this.
We happened to have a conversation like this on the show yesterday. Our guest, Whitney Dow of the Whiteness Project, so it kind of relates to our previous segment, told a simple story of being a white guy at a food cart vendor with a black customer also there, and the white vendor was relating to the white customer while just selling to the black customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the white guy included the black guy in the conversation to reframe it as, we're both customers, more than you and I are both white people, and remind the vendor we are all human beings with equal dignity.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of thing that all of us need to look out for opportunities to do, partly because the problem with all the studies about the contact hypothesis is that nobody paid any attention to the effect of a negative experience. So some researchers recently went back. They did a meta-study of all these hundreds of studies and also ran some of their own. And what they found out was that a negative experience weighs a lot more than a positive experience. So the goal for anybody who wants to talk to strangers as a way of making the world better is to increase the density of positive experiences.
So my last question to you was going to be for tips for people who aren't good at this whole striking up a conversation with strangers business. But we have a caller, Amy in Manhattan, who I think has one of those tips.
Excellent.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Brian. I'm a guest, so I'm not booking your name, but
Keo Stark.
One day I was coming back from an interview, so I was dressed better than usual. And on the subway, I saw a group of like six or seven young black men who were like looking in my direction and seeing, they were talking to each other and looking over at me. And I kind of thought maybe they were talking about me, and they looked inquisitively in their direction. And one of them came over and asked me, did I ever ride the subway late at night? And I said, well, not often, but yeah, sometimes. And he said, what happens? I get where I'm going. You get where you're going. Yeah. You don't get arrested? Oh, crap. And we started talking about it because I'd heard of driving while black, walking while black. I hadn't heard about riding the subway late while black. And he called his friends over, and we got into a conversation. Oh, and I was wearing, Brian, I think you've seen this button on me. We met once or twice.
Yeah.
And it said, I respect you. And at one point, we were getting to their stop at 125th Street, Harlem. And And one of the other, one of the friends of the man who came to talk to me, she said, see, she respects us. And they got off. And the main thing I took away from that about racism is that there is always more to it. You know, I like to think I'm well-informed, but there's always more that I don't know because I don't experience it.
A good stranger interaction. Yes, I remember seeing that button when I ran into you one time in the Jefferson Market Branch Library. Amy, thanks for the story. And Kia, what I thought she was going to do was actually something else, which was say, oh, I start up conversations when I see things on people's T-shirts or bags and ask, what's that about? What's that about?
Yes.
So that's one icebreaker. We just have 30 seconds. Give me one or two more.
Sure. So one thing you can do is called triangulation, which is basically kind of like the T-shirt thing, but you see something and there's the two, you and another person. You can triangulate by saying something about that thing, and that's an opportunity. I also like to give compliments about sort of neutral things. I'm a fan of shoes to give compliments about because people always tell you stories when you tell them that you like their shoes.
Kio Stark, K-I-O. S-T-A-R-K, is the author of a new book called When Strangers Meet, How People You Don't Know Can Transform You. And she'll be at the 92nd Street Y as part of their daytime talk series next Monday, September 19th at noon. 92nd Street Y next Monday at noon for Kio Stark. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next are Ilya Meritz with some original reporting on an Airbnb controversy involving people who live in private homes. Stay with us.